Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I was telling you earlier, Michael Myers was kind of an annoying, scary character for me. I had never seen, is it It with Pennywise?
Yeah, I never really watched that either.
You should watch it. Pennywise, that's pretty scary.
Is it?
It's pretty vicious. Little kids like getting torn in half.
I saw part of it where they're kind of floating around or something. Right? Do they not float around?
I don't know. I don't remember that much. I just watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I just remember anytime there's a little bit of suspense and like the hair might rise on your arms, you're like, okay, they got me.
All right. I'll check it out.
Do you have any idea what we were talking about right before the break? Because you were going to follow up about kids these days.
Yes.
Or kids back in my day. Because I was telling everyone in the first hour, Reno's in now. I was telling people I've had a discussion. One, I'm cheap. I don't like to see things get wasted. I bought a lot of candy. And my girlfriend was going to go over to someone else's house because I won't be home for a while, so we're not going to give out candy at the Casa de Cofield. So I was like, here's two big bags of candy, and you go over there. And she's like, I don't think we need all that, so I'm just going to leave a bowl full of candy in front of our house. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I didn't think about this earlier in the show, but I think in our time when we were younger, we were always by ourselves. At least I was. It was like, hey, be back, you know, whenever, and we'd just go out in the neighborhood and do whatever we've got to do. Nowadays, mostly the parents are with them, so I don't think the parents are going to let them steal all your kids. I mean, maybe they will, but well, I think it's less likely to happen.
That is a great touche. I think it's the big ones that I banned, too. And it's probably the ones coming back, because I said I have a ban on kids who are over 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's probably those 6'3 kids who are 18 now who are like, I remember this house.
would they know?
Remember you slapped my hand and gave me one piece of candy?
Do you have like one of those things at like a mini mart or something where like by the door so if they have to measure themselves before they think they're right. Take one if you're under this level.
I mean, I know how tall I am. If they're towering over me, then you're out.
How tall are you?
If I put on some good sneakers, maybe 5'10.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to.
So if they're taller than you, they're out, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right.
It's more of a judgment thing. I mean, I can tell if there's like an oafish 12-year-old who happens to be 6'3".
Yeah. Andy Reid in that video when he was throwing the football.
Whatever. Isn't that the greatest thing ever? Andy Reid would not have gotten.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, if that's Andy Reid currently, he's not getting candy. And guess what? He's probably in really good shape right now.
Yeah.
It's all those right. All those parents were like, oh, he's kind of big and oafish. Let's give him all the candy.
That's true.
You develop bad habits. If you people had showed discipline
that's right.
to the big kid. He wouldn't be kind of chubby now and out of breath all the time.
You're right.
This is not the most creative name, but I want to use it moving forward. And I started using it on Monday. One of my friends was like, you know what? The Chiefs are, let's just dub them Kermit and the Walrus. Kermit and the Walrus. The Walrus is kind of a reference. It's paying homage to Craig Stadler, who's an old golfer from years ago, who was kind of like Andy Reid, like kind of chubby and had the big mustache. Mm. Is in this day and age when we're trying to get rid of bullying and name calling, are we? Wait, are we?
Yeah, right.
Might be under 4 years. 4 years of that. Is Kermit and the Walrus too much?
The Kermit one, I think, is a little much because you're making fun of the guy's voice.
I thought the Walrus one was the one I was worried about.
I think Andy's kind of embraced that, though. They have like Andy impersonators, guys dressed up like walruses. I mean, it's kind of like a thing.
Okay.
You know,
Kermit?
I feel like Kermit, is after what happened with the Raiders, you know, with the rookie with the mask and all that stuff, like, they don't like it. Like, Andy Reid actually
likes it. That's why you call him that.
No, that's my point. I mean,
Kermit and the Walrus.
It is bullying. I'm just saying that. I'm not saying, you know, whatever, but it is bullying more than it is the Walrus.
Is their voice bullying?
I would say so.
Really?
I mean, if you sound like this,
yeah, somebody's going to bully you, right? I mean.
Griffin?
I'm here.
I thought, because yeah, I didn't know which one you were going to go with. Okay, I thought you were going to hop on the mic.
Nah, that sound bite's too good. I'm going with that one from now on.
But here's the thing on this show. We never have to call for the drop.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Because we'd have people do that, and we're like Ryan McKinnell would do it.
Yeah.
Company for life. I think Willie's done it too. Like, you don't call for it. I actually was asking you to get on mic, but that was good. That was good. Good instinct to go with the "I'm here."
You want to hear a weird?
That's what he sounds like. That's what Luke Bryan sounds like. There are Kermit-sounding people.
You want to hear a weird Ryan McKinnell note?
Yes.
I met Ryan here at Lotus or whatever where we work, yeah. And he knows the same people I know in the Midwest somehow. And I only lived there for like 2 years, so like they were out here visiting and they brought Ryan McKinnell to the party.
That's strange.
What is the odds of that?
I know. paths cross sometimes. You're like, wait, what happened here?
I know.
And his story is about his home area. I mean, you would have blended in with your felonious background.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was. That's where I was.
He hung around with a lot of dirtbags.
Yeah, I know. That's where I was. That's where I wasn't allowed to go outside for a long time.
We talked about it last week. I didn't look around much of South Bend because that's where, you know, Notre Dame's there. And you're like, oh, yeah. It must be a beautiful city. I was like, sure. Okay. I'm like, the church many hasn't gone to the town because it's kind of a tough background. All right, Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers office in Reno, and then, of course, three offices down here, downtown Las Vegas, Summerlin and Henderson. The call from anywhere in the state of Nevada is 766-1400. We are rolling live right now on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Now, I like the comments that come in from YouTube are very random, and Griffin's he's starting to answer them, but it's a lot of sexual-based stuff. And
about me?
No, just in general.
I was going to say, it's kind of hard not to when you see me on the video.
Oh, look at that. Someone is reacting to it. The funny thing is, Fried Piper 465, the guy in the tank top, because they're commenting on Griffin's tank top, is 6'5", 250. So that is kind of funny. It's also, you're risking death if you ever say that to his face. All right, Big Four time.
I'm here.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Things that happen every day. I have to tell you, I got sad earlier on Twitter.
I saw that. You were like dejected.
Well, because I'm just like, you can never send something out that has a positive feel to it without someone going, but.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I will tell you
okay.
in at 4:35. Write that down on the tease board. We don't have one. No, I just, with the I'm here, someone put that in a tweet yesterday, and I thought it was tremendous. Like, I was just mentioning, Griffin's a big guy. He played football.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox, I did an interview with him last year.
Yeah.
He's just big.
Yes.
He is probably 6'2", and he walks around, whatever, 310 pounds.
Yes.
He got into it a little bit last night. Did you see this?
Yes.
With Le'Veon Bell?
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
If I'm Bell, I'm like, I hope I don't see this guy in person.
I mean, I think Bell actually would fight him. I think Bell really feels like he's a fighter because he's boxed a couple times.
Man.
But Le'Veon, I honestly don't know. Le'Veon Bell commented on an outfit that – Fletcher Cox had on, I think it was on Philly TV, and it did kind of look like he had like a blouse on or some sort of shiny thing.
Yes.
And he made a comment, and Fletcher Cox is like, this is real. I'm real.
Yeah.
So you got more to say. I'm here. But he didn't use that voice.
Yeah. He basically told him, I'll see you in person.
Yes. I was like, I don't know what's happening.
That's one guy I would not mess with, dude.
Or what the history is. And yet, you know, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is... What, probably 6'1", 235 against 6'2", 310?
Man.
That might be a good fight.
I don't know, dude.
Whoever's meaner.
I guess.
Some skills, and then whoever's got a killer instinct.
I remember there was a story about Fletcher Cox. He had hooked up with some guy's wife and got sued. The guy was trying to sue him for it or something.
Really?
It was some crazy story. And I guess instead of like meeting Fletcher Cox was like, hey, man, you know, I didn't know or something. You want to meet up? And the guy was like, nah.
That's terrible when you got to back
down. I'm good. Yeah.
Not good. Number three.
Number three.
Griffin has a great story today. I guess two is getting a little aggro. I'm not saying it's due to the concussions, but maybe he's tired of getting called out.
I don't know if it's the concussion or what, but he finally said what a lot of these celebrities should be saying to fans who try to criticize.
He talked about a gaffe in the game, a fumbled snap, and he goes, I'd like to see a lot of other people go back in there and try to catch that ball too. It's not as easy as what it looked, sitting down on your couch eating chips.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Oh, you don't like Tua saying it?
Nah, it's dumb.
I love Tua saying that.
I don't. They're supposed to be able to play. So if a guy's watching the game, you can't criticize the guy unless you can play quarterback too.
I don't think he said that.
And basically, he's like, yeah, it's easy to catch a snap when you're on your couch. Yeah, we're not getting paid $15 to catch a football at the snap. I mean, that's silly to me.
But. Griffin, you want to come in?
I get what Greg is saying, but at the same time, it's just the amount that people criticize these athletes when they themselves either played in high school or never even played a sport at all. It's kind of like, yo, ease up. I get it. He's a professional. He has a job to do, but you're not the one to tell him how to do that job.
I guess. I mean, that's kind of part when you sign up for it, you're kind of taking on the fan criticism with it, aren't you? I mean, when you sign a big contract like that, you're the face of a franchise.
Yeah,
catch the football.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, too. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know,
They're doing the best they can, and a lot of these fans get a little too crazy with the way they criticize athletes.
That's fair enough.
I think if Tua did it all the time, then okay, enough. You don't have to punch down all the time, but every once in a while to kind of he's too nice. He is nice to a fault. He's such a good kid.
He is
every
nice.
Once in a while, you need to see someone snap and go, you know what? Screw off, okay?
It's not personal against Tua. Just in general, I think that's kind of silly when they say that kind of stuff. But, again, CTE's probably creeping in, so who knows? I think I got it.
We'll let that linger out there. Number two.
Number two.
Boy, I'm all over the place here.
Oh, really? I do that every day.
Well, these topics are bringing up different stories, some that I didn't put in the rundown. It's based on what you just said about no one believes that some guy sitting on the couch is going to catch a snap, an errant snap in a game with, you know, 6'5", 300-pound guys coming at him.
Right.
Kicking has become an amazing thing in the National Football League. The Brandon Aubrey guy, even with the jury duty, is, you know, on top of the league. He's been incredible. 50-yarders are not what they used to be. They're nearly guaranteed. And you simply asked the question, could you kick a field goal?
Yeah.
My answer is... absolutely not. I think I used to be able to because I played soccer.
Yeah.
I tried to just go out to a park and kick a ball off a tee, and every ball was just like worm burner.
Really?
No leg drive. I have nothing. I don't want to go my hip flexibility sucks.
Right.
I'll go back to what Barry Odom was talking about when he's got a freshman kicker, and he was talking about how the kid got stronger during the year, and I was like, oh, that does kind of make sense. And a lot of it was the repetitiveness of the motion. Like, I can't kick a field goal, so I'm not sitting at home freaking kicking and doing the hip movement.
Right.
But, like, the UNLV kicker now, almost every kick, he bangs into the freaking end zone. But I think, one, you got to be a pretty good athlete. I have a lot of respect for kickers. I think they are in the past, they used to be kind of small, nerdy-looking guys. They're a lot bigger than they used to be.
Yeah.
I think the leg strength to kick 50-yarders and be good and accurate is nuts. It's a high-level athlete.
I have insane leg strength, like stupid leg strength. I really do. I mean, I know it's just me being dumb, but
wait,
whatever.
What?
I'm telling you, I do. If you go to the gym or whatever, like my legs are stupid strong. Like they really are.
Because you can squat?
I can squat. I could do the leg presses. I can lift. I'm telling you, my legs are just really strong. But kicking off a tee and kicking with a guy with his finger on the ground, like the Charlie Brown style, totally different. Off a tee, I think I'd probably hit like a 30, 40-yarder maybe. On the ground with a finger, I probably couldn't even hit a 10-yarder.
Why do we do this? Why do we do this, Griffin? Why do we let him talk?
What?
Off a tee, I could probably hit a 30 or 40-yarder.
Why not?
You can't.
Let's try it.
You can.
We got one here? How far do you think that pool is from here?
They actually did have the all-time, well, he's second all-time because he's trying to break the record this year. Boise's kicker kicked like the length of...
Oh, that's right.
At a media day, he was out here kicking.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't
do
that.
You can't kick a 30 or 40-yarder.
30-yarder, I'm sure I could off a tee.
I don't think you can.
I bet I can.
Griffin, you want in on this?
Oh, I played football, but I played the one position that was just right for me because I cannot throw a ball. I cannot kick a ball if my life depended on it.
$100. Not a lot of money, but
couldn't
put
do
$100
it.
On it.
Couldn't do it. Oh, you're safe for you? I believe, yeah. Greg. I can see you kicking it pretty far.
Oh, I think he backed down at the money.
See?
That's not the way that's supposed to work. You're supposed to take the bet. Don't worry about the money. All right, we'll get to number one in just a little bit. Big Four at Four is brought to you by our friends here at Stadium Swim. Circle Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Showing tonight, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Free to get in at all ages. 7 o'clock start.
Now back to Cofield and Company. Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. On ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I told you, Salerno. The Kermit thing would grow on you. You're like, that's offensive. No, it's not.
I didn't say it was offensive. I'm just saying that if you're talking about bullying and anti-bullying, it is kind of bullying to make somebody's voice. Isn't it? Doesn't mean I'm against it.
Greg Salerno, Circa.
I'm here.
Steve Cofield, Jake Mateo, Griffin, very lively today. Nice job with the choice of music. Still got half of the show to go. I'm very excited. Very excited to talk Wolfpack football. I'm also very excited to bring in what I think is another Yankee fan and continue to just be really mopey today.
Ugh.
About the Yankees. Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet, is up with Salerno and Cofield. Shannon?
Hi, guys. Don't remind me. That's all I got. Okay,
that confirms it.
Exactly how I feel.
Remind me, you are a Yankee fan. Why?
So my mom was born in Brooklyn. My dad born in Jersey, raised in Jersey. So that's how I'm a Yankees fan, but by nature of my family. So I'm not a bandwagoner by any stretch, but my parents are from the East Coast and then moved out to Vegas. So
the floor is yours. You got a minute. Say anything nasty and really vile and even vulgar. We've got the dump button on about Aaron Judge. Go.
Oh, man, can't put me on the spot like that. I mean, it's just tough. You know, I love Aaron Judge. I love the captain, but it's just tough. I mean, how do you expect to come back and win a game like that if you're going to give up five runs late in the game? It's just tough, and it's unfortunate because of how close, you know, it felt like they were to hanging on and surviving to see another day. But just sad to think to come so close and to go out like that. And watch the Dodgers celebrate at Yankee Stadium last night. It was pretty disappointing. Not going to lie, it was pretty cold in Reno today, cloudy this morning. So I felt like that was pretty appropriate given how last night shaked out.
She's taking it really hard.
I know.
I feel bad for bringing it up now.
This sounds terrible.
Sorry.
I'm also a Yankees.
You want to keep going with it?
Well, I just want to ask a question because I'm also a Yankees fan.
Downright depressing.
And you sound like kind of surprised they lost. Like I was kind of thinking they were going to lose going into the series. Were you thinking they were going to win?
I mean, the Dodgers have been really good all right. year, so I think it was going to be, you know, a good series. It just felt like after game one, after the Dodgers won on the walk-off there, it just kind of took the life out of them.
That's exactly what I felt.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and I just felt like at that point, I was like, things just don't feel like they're going to end well from that point forward. And sure enough, they didn't.
I'm just going to say, I think we're all embarrassing ourselves as Yankee fans. This is way too mopey, way too morose. We gotta pick it up.
It was 10 hours ago.
I know, but like this group are it's like hated people. You got to come chest puffed out and talk about, you know, the next steps, the build.
Shannon, what?
Well, Steve, are you a Yankees fan?
I am a Yankees fan, but I'm very quiet about it because I'm around other Yankees fans. I don't want to be obnoxious, but I go into the offseason. I have a plan. I like what the Dodgers had in the bullpen, so I want the Yankees to sign five closers. I want every guy every guy they sign. We'll have to have had a year of at least 25-plus saves, and I'm not embarrassed by that. Spend the money. Let's go.
Hopefully they'll listen to you, right? Hopefully they're listening right now.
They should sign nine closers and have them pitch one inning each game.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Be the bully. That's what the Dodgers do. Dodgers spend money, and if they don't have what they need, they spend more money. All right, well, let's talk about – he's dropping in a Kermit. Let's talk about the pack last week. Explain what happened. First of all, you have an injury at quarterback, so that was a problem. But the entire running game is reliant on the starting quarterback to have the thing rolling because they couldn't move the ball on the ground.
Well, it was a tough game. I mean, it felt like Nevada was never really in this one. Its top two running backs, Patrick Carlos and Savion Redd, also got hurt during that game. So that certainly didn't help, along with, you know, a slew of other injuries across the team in that game. But 12 penalties for 105 yards, I mean, that right there was one of the biggest differences, just when Nevada got something going on a nice drive, and then it was killed by a penalty. So I think, you know, when you look at the penalties and, you know, the injuries at the time, and Nevada just couldn't recover from what Hawaii was throwing at them.
All right, give me your judgment on what it looked like at the backup quarterback situation. I think Lewis is going to be back. You can update us on that. But if he's not available, if he goes down, if they have to make a change, did you see some good things?
Yeah, so Brendan Lewis will be available this week, and he will play against Colorado State on Saturday. But I did like what Chubba Purdy and A.J. Bianco were doing out there. I thought they had some nice passes. You know, it's just tough. I felt like each play was just the penalties were really such a tough part of that, and not to use that as like, hey, that was, you know, the main reason why they didn't win the game. But I did like what they did out there, and Coach Choate said after how he's like, you know, I felt like they played pretty well. But it's just tough when, you know, these guys are going out there as backups trying to do their best. And, you know, I thought they did pretty decent, and it just was tough. They couldn't get support from the rest of, you know, the team to try and help put them in good situations as well. So, but I thought they did pretty well. So we'll see, you know, if they end up playing at all in this game, but Brendan Lewis will be available and he will play on Saturday.
Talking to Shannon Kelly at @ShannonKelly_TV. Coach Cho, you mentioned him, very emotional after the game, passionate, more than usual even. Is there a reason he was more passionate after this loss than others?
No, I mean, I think, you know, just given the fact that the way that that performance was, given how Nevada has played in other games this season, and, you know, he was asked some questions at his press conference this week about, you know, with Jay Norvell coming in to town and you know, whether that his success here with the Wolfpack maybe, you know, helped him believe, hey, if I come here, I can help get this team to a Mountain West title as well. And, you know, he was saying, hey, like, this team is in this situation. Nevada's in a lot, is in a much different place now and than when Coach Norvell was here. But saying, hey, he's going to give this team everything he has, and he's going to give this place everything he has to rebuild it and get it right. And that means, you know, getting to Mountain West championships and playing in bowl games.
Shannon Kelly's with us. Before we move on to the next game, I saw you point out that there was a graphic in the Colorado State game. Sorry, a little mic trouble. Mike Sanford had midseason awards with Coach of the Year in the conference. He named Choate the coach. I mean, I know you like Jeff Choate. He's done a pretty decent job. Should he be the Coach of the Year in the conference?
I mean, hey, we still have, what, 4 or 5 more weeks left of Mountain West play, but I think you have to take into consideration, given what Coach Choate has done to get this program back on track in year one, given this was a team that had back-to-back 2-10 seasons. I think a lot of people can look at that, you know, in different ways of, hey, Mountain West Coach of the Year, what does that look like? Does that look like, you know, the team that wins it all at the end, or, you know, what does that look like in the eyes of everybody? But I think with what he's been able to do so far, you know, it's certainly it's improvement, and Coach Choate has gotten his program back on the right track, no doubt. And now Nevada, you know, will play 3 of the top 5 Mountain West teams the rest of the season in Colorado State, then at Boise State, and then obviously at the end of the season down at UNLV. So, you know, what's Nevada going to look like in those games? Time will tell.
That's pretty good defense, because it is really going to be determined by what happens down the stretch. If Boise goes unbeaten, then it's probably Danielson. I think Odom could be considered, but I think Bronco Mendenhall has done an awesome job. But who knows? Some of the teams right now with 1 win, or even in the case of the Pack with no wins, could storm back and, you know, finish with 4 or 5 wins. So we'll see what happens down the stretch here. All right. Let's talk about how big this game is from an intensity standpoint. Are most Pack fans still very much in the blank you Norvell mode?
Well, I mean, it's been a couple years removed, so I don't know what it's going to look like at Mackey Stadium come Saturday. There were a lot of fireworks 2 years ago in Coach Norvell's return to Reno for the first time, but now that it has been a couple of years, and I mean, this roster is so overturned at this point, too. There's only about a dozen guys on the team that didn't play for Norvell, so, you know, now that it is a couple years removed, we'll see what it's going to look like on Saturday. I think it's going to draw a good crowd just given the nature of it, but we'll see. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, no doubt, since it has been a couple years removed.
Friday nights, you're used historically for high school football. You got a big game going up there. Tell us a little bit about Reno versus Douglas.
Yeah, so Reno and Douglas, the first round of the Northern 5A Division II playoffs. So some teams got some buys this week, so Bishop Minogue and Reed earned a bye, so Reno and Douglas will square off with the winner facing Bishop Minogue next week, but it should be a good game. It was a pretty close game earlier in the season back in September, so I think we can expect another close game as well. And a pretty cool thing on Reno's staff is former Nevada quarterback Carson Strong. He's the offensive coordinator at Reno High. He's also teaching there too, so even though he's not playing football anymore, he's coaching at the high school level, which is pretty cool to see.
Bold prediction time. I say Nevada 27-21 over Colorado State. You?
I think that's a pretty fair prediction. I like that one. I think, you know, Nevada's going to be at home. They're going to be hungry for a win, given how last week shook out. They'll have their starting quarterback back. But I think you can't doubt this Rams team either of what they've done this season without Torrey Horton, even in how they've really helped kickstart the run game. So it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a close game. I think what the spread was around one point, you know, Colorado State was a 1.5 one point favorite.
Now it's two. I will say to the audience, I think you're tap dancing here. You have told me in the past that you despise Jay Norvell. You hate his guts. No, she never said that. I wish she did. I wish you did. Come on now. Let's get amped up. He's a traitor.
He's terrible.
He's a traitor.
Jay Norvell was a great coach to work with here. He was great with us. He was great with us. Win or lose, never changed, which was, you know, that's all you can ask for in our spot.
See you, Shannon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
This feels like Phantom of the Opera.
It's not. It's exactly what it is. Told you.
Yep. You know what's funny? Is Phantom of the Opera, is it a Halloween feel, kind of?
Kinda.
Okay.
There's masks.
All right. So I've been up and down with social media today. Thanks to Vegas homie Mike, who said, what up, fellas? Steve, if you liked It and it scared you, dude, you got to see the new Smile 2. It scared the pee out of me.
Nice.
My daughter... What does she do? Anyway.
They've got some scary-ass posters, I'll tell you that. Have you seen the posters for that movie?
No.
It's this weird smile. I mean, it's called Smile, obviously.
Earlier in the show, I kept looking at Twitter, and I kept looking at you, and there was like a tear in my eye. And it wasn't about the Yankees.
Yeah, you look
sad. Well, I just... I really like the back and forth on Twitter. I like that we can send out the message about all of our cool partners and all the cool things they do. But there's also times you send stuff out, and you're like, oh, this is like... happy angle in sports, and there's always someone who's got to come over the top and just be like, but this is what's going to happen.
So what was?
It wasn't even a big deal. It was...
You're making it a big deal.
We had a nice conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a local recruit, a 7-footer, Xavion Staten, who has BYU, UNLV basketball, Michigan, and Stanford on his list. We had a recruiting expert on yesterday who said, hey, she believes UNLV's in the driver's seat. So, you know, it's informational. It's good stuff. We did the interview. If you missed it, want to send it out. So I send it out. And, you know, one of the responses is, well, they might get him, but when Kruger gets fired, then he's going to reopen his commitment. It's like, can you just enjoy the now and be happy for 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's super annoying. Right? Yeah, I get it.
I mean, you know.
Kind of the same thing, but not really the same thing. Is like sometimes you'll put a joke up or something as a comedian. Yeah. And they'll explain why it's not whatever. I'm like, dude, that's not that deep, man. Like, you know, there's no reason.
It's just, there's, when this happens in real life, like I have tried to, and I am by nature a griper and pisser and moaner. I've tried to get better on radio, whatever place, but I try to get better at it. And when I recognize people who are around me in real life who do that, I get to a point and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I need to spend that much time with the person. It's not like a big announcement.
Yeah, no, I
get
it.
But like, I'll give you an example. My family.
Right.
I went on a vacation to see them, and it's like the one chance every year I get to see them. And
sure.
I sat back a couple of times. I'm like, my God, these guys are a handful. And that's me saying it. Then I'm like, oh, that's why this happened. I point to myself. But you get to a point sometimes where you're like, man, you're a freaking downer, man.
I feel like
that's what Twitter is all the time. There's always a but, and hey, here's a reason to not be happy. I saw John Rossi, in college basketball guy, announces the rest of the Maui field, right? I forget. It was like Arizona State and someone else going to be in it. Well, UNLV basketball is in it. And, you know, next year I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. I've never been to the Maui Classic, you know, around that Thanksgiving holiday. And then, like, every reaction on John Rothstein's thing was, field sucks, worst field ever, sucks, sucks, sucks. I'm like, okay, trip to Maui, ruined.
Yeah, speaking of family members, I find that older family members do that a lot. Like, I go to my grandma's house, and I'm like, hey, everything's going good. Oh, this is great food. How you doing, grandma? And it's like, oh, I'm not buying green bananas. And you're like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not coming over here anymore.
Well, the biggest thing is, and I've definitely adjusted my approach on this. If I go to a restaurant and I don't like what I'm having, I don't say it. But my family is awesome at, like, coming over the top and like, eh.
Yeah. All right, what about the waiters?
I love my mother, but she did it a couple times where you're out at a meal and she's like, these pancakes taste kind of weird. Try this. Of course, you know, now, yeah. Now, and what am I going to come back with? Tastes fine to me. I think that's like a fruity flavor they mixed in. But Twitter is my family. I don't mean like it's my family. They act like.
I see.
Just yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Yay. Things are good. Maybe UNLV gets a commit. Basketball team's playing in Hawaii.
It's not going to matter when the bomb goes off or whatever. It's like, what?
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling. Presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Jets and Texans coming up. I've done everything I can for an hour and 40 minutes not to talk about it. We will get a leaner like from Brad Powers. Brad is in. Brad's a holiday guy. I know that. He's been on with us for a long time. Happy Halloween, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, happy Halloween. Not really a holiday.
He laughs.
I do like Halloween, but obviously the job that I've chosen doesn't allow me to get too wild on Halloween anymore.
We always like to find out. We like to go 3D with Brad Powers and find out who he really is aside from the sports bets. And I'm curious, were you mischievous? If I have a scenario right now that I'm dealing with. My girlfriend is going to leave the house, put a bowl of candy out front, and use the honor system. Hey, everybody, take one. Is Brad Powers the kind of kid that would have walked up and just scooped up the whole thing and poured it into his bag or his pillowcase?
Nah, I would have only taken one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good guy.
Morally solid.
I'm boring. I was a good kid.
I know, me too. I didn't like to break rules. I don't think I could do it. Even as an adult, I've lost pretty much all control of my morals and ethics. I still wouldn't like grab four.
I wouldn't do it either.
I like that. This is a good show. Let's just go to break on that, a happy moment.
But.
Okay. Big game of the week. We got Ohio State and Penn State, and I see all these numbers like both of these guys never beat the good teams. Well, someone's got to win the game. And obviously Penn State's got a little issue here with the quarterback. So what are we thinking? What's the number right now? And I also want to know what the way back number was and what you thought about the game back then. So I've given you six questions. Try to figure out what I asked you.
Yeah, so right now it's trending toward Ohio State 3. In fact, a lot of local books have it at 3 now. So, I mean, if you're looking to bet Ohio State, obviously that's a lot more advantageous than laying 3.5 with a relatively low total. You know, it hasn't moved too much. I mean, in the summer, Ohio State was about a 3.5 all the way up to like a 5-point favorite. So hasn't moved too much. I mean, obviously both teams have come close to meeting expectations. Ohio State had a disappointing loss against Oregon. Penn State sitting here unbeaten, but in my opinion, haven't been overly dominant. Could have lost the USC game. Where am I at on this game? I am not betting the side, or at least I'm not there yet. Now, certainly if I got a cheap money line or if somehow this line went under 3, then I would be looking at Ohio State. But there's so many issues for both teams as far as I'm concerned. You mentioned Drew Aller. I think he's going to play. The market's telling you he's going to play. Let's see if he's close to 100%. Ohio State's offensive line's compromised right now, particularly at left tackle, where they could be at their third option already this season at left tackle if the backup can't go. So that Penn State's defensive front is not the best defensive front to be facing when you're compromised on the offensive line. I went under. It's come back a little bit. I'm a little surprised, but you can find 47 out there, full game under 47. What I'd probably prefer though is first half under 23.5. I think both teams kind of feel each other out before, and you always avoid, you know, the possibility of an overtime or some late game scoring.
We got a game tonight that just kicked off a little while ago. It's scoreless. Tulane and Charlotte. Tulane, my numbers early in the day had the Green Wave laying 15.5. The reason I ask about this one is I think Tulane actually can be a real problem down the stretch here in the AAC with teams trying to, you know, get to the finish line with one loss. How good is Tulane, and did you lay the points tonight?
Yeah, it's a good I didn't lay the points, didn't bet the side. I leaned over, worried a little bit about Tulane's defense. I mean, they faced a ton of plays last week, short week, traveling again. Charlotte's offense a little improved. But I'm glad you brought up Tulane because everyone – seems to be talking Army, Navy, and American. The best team is Tulane. So I think, I mean, obviously, If I had to pick one today, who's going to win that conference, it's going to be Tulane. I think they're, in fact, I think they'll be a sizable favorite over an Army or Navy if they play. So I think their coach, John Sumrall is his name, comes over from Troy, where all he did his 2 years there is win back-to-back Sun Belt championships. You've seen what Troy is without him, one of the, you know, bottom 10 team in the country. I think this is one of the brightest young coaches in college football. Don't expect him to be a Tulane long.
Tomorrow night, we got SDSU and Boise. I'm seeing, I don't know if it's changed, but plus 23.5 for SDSU. What are you looking at in that game?
You know, I haven't bet the side again. Boy, it seems like I haven't bet too many sides this week. But, you know, I would need 24.5 to be interested in San Diego State. Why I'm not is, you know, I think Boise State, you know, it was a decent performance. Boy, Ashton Gentry got unfairly treated in the Heisman market. I mean, a whole hum, he had 130 yards right, and a game-winning touchdown against a good UNLV team. Why are you docking the guy? I don't get it. So I think Gentry will get some extra touches here. What I did bet was the over. I like San Diego State's improvement on offense. Very quietly, they almost beat Washington State last week. I like their coach, but to me right now, 57 is my preference. Let's go over.
Yeah, I ranted about that yesterday. About it was kind of a backhand to UNLV as well. Like they held them to 128. It's like, oh, you only got 128 against UNLV. We got to drop you down to the Heisman. Like I know your thoughts last week. It was, you know, from a year ago, the gap between UNLV and Boise was massive. The gap certainly closed. I don't know I don't know what's going to happen if they can meet in a title game in Boise, but I think UNLV would have a shot. I saw a lot of good things. Obviously, got to eliminate the penalties and got to do a better job covering the tight end.
I bet Boise last week. I won that bet, but I'm not sure that I had necessarily the great side there. So UNLV, I mean, this is the best UNLV team in history. I mean, name one performance that you're like, I didn't like what they did that for this particular week. I mean, yeah, you can nitpick, but I mean, they're consistently very good, and just so happened to run into probably the best Boise State team since the Kellen Moore, Chris Peterson days.
Saturday games. Let's go down the list here. Oregon at Michigan. Boy, oh boy, the Wolverines have had a tough time, but they're going to get blown out.
You know what? I think so. I haven't gotten to the window yet. I need 14. It came a little more expensive than I anticipated. But I just don't see a pathway for Michigan's offense for great success here unless Oregon's turning it over multiple times. Oregon's going to be able to stack the line of scrimmage because their secondary will be able to cover Michigan's wide receivers. That's not saying much. And, boy, I think if Oregon can expose Ohio State's defense, I think they certainly can expose Michigan's defense, particularly the back end if Will Johnson's not playing for them. So, Oregon, I haven't bet it yet, but if you're gonna play it, lay it.
Going from Michigan to Michigan State, they're playing Indiana. How are you seeing that game?
I like Michigan State quite a bit. Now,
yeah,
I'm price sensitive. I did bet it, but I didn't anticipate Curtis Rourke being back yet. Now it looks like he's going to be back. So I probably got a bad number there at 7.5. I know I got a bad number because I can get better right now. So let's wait until that's officially he's ruled in. Hopefully, do we see a 10? I'm not sure. But we're definitely – the line's going to go higher. I'm going to bet Michigan State. It's going to be one of my favorite plays of the week, so much so that I'm going to sprinkle a little money line on Sparty. I like what I see. They just don't play clean football. If they play a clean game, you saw what they did 2 weeks ago to Iowa at home.
Brad Powers, Brad Powers 7, BradPowersSports.com, Brad Powers 7 up on Twitter. Some SEC action here. I'm assuming this is Sharps driving the number down. It's now Florida getting 14.5 against Georgia.
Yeah, big group took Florida today. Went from 16.5 down to 14.5. Just because it moved doesn't mean I got to agree with it. I think Georgia's the right side here. Whenever you're laying, you know, more than two touchdowns, what's the motivation for margin? You got to question that. I think Georgia has that motivation for margin. Kirby Smart does not like Florida. There's, you know, I wouldn't say documentaries, but there's, you know, segments that I've seen. It goes back to when he played at Georgia. Spurrier ran up the score. It was on him personally. They threw a long touchdown pass against Kirby when he's playing defensive back. And I've seen the last 3 years. Kirby hasn't taken the foot off the gas pedal. They've gotten margin in all 3 years. I like Georgia minus 14.5. But what I prefer, though, since I lean over, is let's combine the two. There's correlation, Georgia the over. Georgia team total, anything under 35, let's go over.
Can we take South Carolina against Texas A&M coming off a emotional victory against LSU? South Carolina at home getting points?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite plays of the week. I like South Carolina plus three. I like them to win outright. I like the spot off a bye. A&M off their biggest win. I wouldn't say fraudulent win. I mean, they deserve to win, but still, LSU missed three field goals. LSU had three turnovers that set up A&M short scoring drives. And then A&M's been outgained in three of their last four games. So, yeah, they're on a seven-game winning streak, but it hasn't been overly dominant in the box score. South Carolina, I'm telling you, people forget at this time of year because, I mean, they can't remember what they had for lunch yesterday. But change a play or two in South Carolina's season, and I think the market's treating them completely different. And those games came against LSU and Alabama, two games they easily could have won. And it's not like some fluky thing that they were close in the game. It was probably fluky that they lost the game, South Carolina to Alabama and LSU. So I see a lot of value here on the Gamecocks. Again, I think they went outright.
You can obviously look at numbers and see what the books think from a power rating standpoint on certain conferences, certain schools. Where do you have SMU in the ACC? Listen, I think SMU is probably better than Pittsburgh, but when I saw 7.5, I'm like, my God, is SMU higher power rated than Miami and Clemson? This is quite the number against a Pittsburgh team that obviously has played not perfect football, but the record's perfect.
I mean, I have SMU 17th in my power ratings, but behind Miami and Clemson, I have Clemson 1 in the ACC. And, okay, you know, I'd have, believe it or not, I'd have Clemson like a touchdown better than SMU. So wow. What's that mean? Oh, my goodness, 14 over Pitt? Yeah, I think Pitt's overrated. Again, you go back through their schedule. Three touchdown come from behind victory against Cincinnati that they were extremely fortunate to win that game early on. Fortunate to beat Cal. Cal missed an extra point and a field goal in that game. Otherwise, that's a loss. They were down 10 with 5 minutes left against West Virginia. That could have been a loss. Misleading final last week. They blow out Syracuse. Why? Plus five turnovers. Not one, not two, but three pick sixes in the first half of that game. I just think they're, you know, a phony, unbeaten team. SMU, probably a little underrated. I mean, at first we thought, oh, that's a bad loss to BYU. Well, that's aged pretty well. BYU hasn't lost a game this year, so that's not a bad loss for SMU. And then last week, somehow, some way, SMU won a football game being minus six in turnovers. It had only happened one other time in the previous 125 instances of a team being minus six in turnovers. So they did something exceptional last week that, you know, some people probably downgraded in the market. I didn't. I didn't adjust their power rating. So SMU for me, one of my favorite bets.
Talking to Brad Powers, some Mountain West games this weekend. We were talking about this earlier because obviously we are in Nevada. Colorado State, Nevada, how you seeing that game?
Haven't bet it yet. I mean, obviously I need a little bit more concrete information on Lewis, whether he's going to play or not. I didn't think Brendan Lewis would be that worth that much if you watched him play in previous years, but he's had a good year. And obviously Nevada had their worst offensive performance last week, at least on the scoreboard. They did move the football a little bit. Colorado State's surprised me. I was ready to throw Norvell in the trash, thought he'd get fired, and they've rebounded nicely. What I'd probably – if you give me a three at home, I'm taking Nevada because they've been consistent all year. So that's kind of what I'm waiting on.
No one feels better than me right now about the Jets. I mean, things are going really well. It's 2.5 now. It's 2.5. The total against the Texans, what are we looking at, 42.5? Did it move? Do you have anything on this game? You have a lean or a like? 43.
I mean, the line's telling you the Jets are the side. I've been told the Jets are the side, but come on. I've been told the Jets are the team all offseason. I was told the Jets are the side. You know, how many weeks here? Going back to the Pittsburgh game a couple weeks ago, I'm not buying it. I lean Houston. But what I prefer, just in case the Jets are the side, let's get some extra points. Let's tease Houston up through 3-7, the old wonk teaser. It's the first leg. And you got plenty of second leg options like Cleveland as a home dog, Seattle as a home dog for the second leg of the teaser.
Brad, you're awesome. I hope you win this weekend. You will win this weekend. Let's be confident. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We got 20. What do you got?
Why the Jets? I don't understand.
We'll open the 5 o'clock hour. Betting is strange, man.
Yeah.
Sharps a lot of times. The guys with money, they stick to their principles. They see something they like. They don't go away from it for 3 or 4 weeks, and sometimes it crushes them. But most times they are rewarded for sticking with the team when everyone else is like, they suck!